Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, infuse the words I speak and the words we hear. Open our ears to hear and our lives to be transformed. Amen. Mark is the earliest and shortest of the Gospels, and its author is a storyteller who doesn't waste words. And what an opening, punchy and dramatic. It grabs us from the start with the strange and beguiling character of John the Baptist and the promise that something or someone even more interesting is coming. The first verse of the Gospel is actually its title, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Even this short title is rich with meaning. I don't believe that this is a section heading. I think Mark implies something quite wonderful. That the whole of his Gospel, the story of the life and ministry, death and resurrection of Jesus that follows, is just the beginning. That is the good news of Jesus was continuing to unfold, and let us hope continues to unfold today. Then, the assertions that we take for granted, but which were still controversial in Mark's day, that Jesus is the Christ. In other words, the long-awaited Messiah and Son of God. It is worth mentioning that Son of God was a title both religious and political connotations in the context of Mark's first audience, who were a people struggling and suffering under Roman occupation. Rome legitimized its rule with religious claims, and the Roman emperor claimed for himself the title Son of God. Mark is bravely defying the powers of Rome and asserting that Jesus, not Caesar or any of his successors, is the Son of God. All of that possibility and theology and sedition, and that's just in the title. Then Mark quotes the prophets of old, Isaiah with a dash of Malachi mixed in, talk of a messenger, of a voice crying in the wilderness, and into the frame steps John the Baptist, a wild-eyed desert mystic, preaching repentance and baptizing in the River Jordan the crowds who flocked to him to confess their sins. John is an important Advent figure, so much so that he shows up in the lectionary readings for the next week as well. His strange attire, camel's hair with leather belt tied around his waist, has a significance we might miss, but would not have been lost on those gathering to him, nor to Mark's first audience. Another message of our Advent readings this morning is about making things right. John the Baptist preaches repentance. The Greek word metanoia means a transformational change of mind and heart, a dramatic reorientation. The reading from Isaiah talks about preparation in terms of a shifting of the landscape itself, a flattening of the mountains and hills, a levelling out of rough places to make smooth, even ground. Occasionally, in Cara's day-to-day job as a nurse caring for the elderly in hospital, she had the privilege of witnessing something beautiful happen as a person's life draws to its end. Families draw together, and past differences are reconciled. Life comes into sharper perspective as the things which matter most become urgent and all else falls away. It is a time of vigil, of waiting, of preparation, and of making the way smooth for the person to die peacefully and surrounded by love. Death doesn't always happen this way, but when it does, it can be something wonderful to behold, despite all the pain of separation and grief. I've often wondered how we might live more of our lives with that same clarity of purpose and perspective, discerning what really matters, removing unnecessary obstacles, and being reconciled with God and one another and our own selves. We can't spend all of our lives in the desert, nor should we. Make no mistake, it is a hard and fearful place. I would like to read you a short quote from one of my favourite modern theologians, J.D. Caputo. A quote which brings us full circle back to our Advent ring theme of hospitality. He is talking about wrestling with uncertainty in the desert versus the comfort and security we might find in our churches and our religious traditions. Or if you like, the harsh desert truths of Advent versus the twinkling glow of the festive season. This is from his great little book on religion. On my accounting, we ought to pass our days slipping back and forth between the two, giving the desert of the secret its due, while all along seeking out the hospitality of our historical traditions and the shelter of our culture, without which we would simply perish. We might think of ourselves as desert wanderers. On the way, we know not where, but continually finding respite and hospitality in the determinate faiths, even as the safety of those shelters is haunted by the unsettling thoughts of the searing desert sun and the numbing desert nights that lie outside their sheltering circles. He was dressed as a prophet Elijah, who described in the book of 2 Kings as a hairy man with a leather belt around his waist. John the Baptist was drawing crowds because there were rumours flying around that he was the prophet Elijah, returned to the coming of God. The desert wilderness is really an important motive in our Judeo-Christian tradition. It is where the Israelites spent 40 years wandering about after their escape from Egypt, on their circuitous journey to the Promised Land. Life there was tough. Their patience and faithfulness were repeatedly tested. It was a time of doubt and intense longing. It was also a time when God was close, dwelling in their midst in a tent pitched amongst their own, or in a column of fire or a pillar of cloud, providing for them in need and leading them onward. At Lent, another time in the church's calendar, we remember that Jesus' ministry began only after 40 days spent in the desert, a time of preparation, of prayer, of testing and doubt, of facing the devil, or perhaps his own demons. And now, in Advent, we hear the prophet Isaiah telling of a voice in the wilderness and a way in the desert, and encounter John the Baptist, whom crowds are following out of the city and the countryside of Judea, and into the scrubby wasteland beyond the margins of civilization. It strikes me that there is a bit of a jarring contrast between the idea of Advent spent in the desert in repentance and self-examination and life stripped back to survival and nature and the elements and longing for God. Or Advent spent shopping, which, let's face it, is what most of us spend most of the Advent season doing. But now, more than ever, we could probably do with a bit of wilderness perspective in our lives. So how, this Advent, can we prepare for the coming of Jesus? Here are one or two ideas. The coming of any new baby, as those of you who are parents or grandparents will know, turns life as you know it upside down. It involves making room, a space in the house for the baby and all the baby paraphernalia that accompanies a baby, time off work, a reordering of schedules and commitments and priorities. Part of our Advent preparations might also be about thinking how we can make room, give time in the midst of busy schedules, creating spaces and pockets of stillness, examining and reordering our priorities. My challenge to you and to myself over this week and the weeks to come is to make room in Advent for some desert wilderness time. I don't think many of us will experience sand or searing sun. Your desert wilderness might just be a snowy field where you make time for a solitary walk, very appropriate. Or 15 minutes of deliberate silence within a noisy day. This is a time of year when there is a lot of darkness, and it's okay to experience and acknowledge that. Jesus' own desert times teach us that doubt and struggle are allowed too. Like the bones laid bare in the desert, we might find ourselves exposed, vulnerable to the elements. But when all else is stripped away, we find that the kernel at the center, the ground of our being, is God. Shall we join together in prayer? Wild and restless Spirit of God, accompany us this Advent. Give us courage to spend time in the wilderness, the place where you bring us face to face with ourselves. Help us to find pockets of stillness in the hurry and hubbub of the lead up to Christmas. And when we return to the comforts of our lives, the company of others, the warmth of the festive season, may we do so as those who have been transformed by the sharp truths of the desert. Amen.